Managing the lawful and peaceful protests that continue in the Twin Cities while preparing for the possibility of more violence is the job of state and local authorities. I spoke with St. Paul's Mayor Melvin Carter earlier today about his city's next steps in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd. Mr. Mayor, I want to ask, what's the situation now? What have you learned from the events of last night?
The situation now continues to be an extreme amount of emotion, an extreme amount of frustration and of anger around the wrongful killing of George Floyd, and certainly around the fact that we are still looking for some certainty that not just one, but all four of the officers who were responsible for his death will be held legally accountable. We asked our residents yesterday for a major thing, and that was through this curfew to stay home, to give us an opportunity to isolate the individuals who were hoping to do destruction to our neighborhoods, to our neighborhood businesses, to our neighborhood, our neighbors' ability to earn a livelihood, to separate those folks from the peaceful protesters who want to keep the focus on George Floyd, the fact that he should still be alive, our push to hold those officers accountable, and our deep soul-searching work to change the course of our nation so that this does not continue to happen again. We really appreciate the work of our neighbors to stay home, and in that, to choose to channel this extreme sorrow and trauma that we've all been through, this extreme energy that we have right now, not into destroying our neighborhoods, but into building a better world for our children in the future.
Is it working? The National Guard deployments, the police presence, the requests for people to stay at home, the curfew, is it decreasing the destruction of property?
We certainly saw a more stable and more peaceful night last night than we've seen in the previous nights. But I'll tell you this, the only thing that we can do through that show of force, through that law enforcement presence that we have right now in the immediate sense, is address the how people are protesting. We have to know that that anger, that that rage is real, especially when we know that George Floyd's name is now on a too long list of African-American men, unarmed African-American men, who've lost their lives at the hands of law enforcement. We've had a lot of focus on that over the last 10 years as we've seen it play out on camera phone videos. But we have to remember that what's new is camera phones. Those things have been playing out for decades and generations and without reprieve. And that's what people are so angry about. And so to get to the bottom of this, to get ourselves out of this cycle, we're going to have to move beyond just addressing the how people are protesting, because this very understandable anger is being manifested in very unhealthy, unacceptable, and destructive ways that are eliminating our senior citizens, pharmacies that we rely on to get our medicine in a pandemic, eliminating our, you know, destroying our neighborhood institutions. And, you know, we need to figure out a way to channel this rage in a way that is productive. So our call for folks here in Minnesota and around the country is to be peaceful, is to protest peacefully. But we're not asking people for patience. We're not asking people for pacifism. My hope is that everyone who is outraged by the violent scene that we saw played out last week in Minneapolis, who's outraged around all of the loss of life that we've had and our legal system's inability, it seems so far, to hold officers accountable for the wrongful taking of Black lives, to channel that energy not into destroying our neighborhoods and further traumatizing the same communities that have been traumatized so many times over and over and over again, but let's channel that energy into dismantling the systemic racism, the disparities, into dismantling all of the laws and precedents and police union contracts that makes it virtually impossible to hold officers accountable when we see something like what we saw last week.
Who is responsible for what we're seeing? Not the peaceful protests, but the ones that are engaged in the destruction of property, the actions against police. Yesterday, there was some confusion about this. You and the governor had said that a lot of this was from people from out of town. Who's actually responsible for this, and are you able to arrest them?
You know, we're working very closely with our law enforcement partners to get right to the bottom of who is behind all of the incitement of violence. We know, we saw it play out very clearly yesterday. We know that unfortunately, those who come out to break a window or to start a fire or to incite violence in some way are one of the biggest tragedies of this is they're taking the focus away from where it should be. The focus should be on the fact that George Floyd should still be alive. Our focus should still be on pressing for accountability for those four officers, not just one, but the four officers who were responsible for taking his life, and on the deep soul-searching work that we're going to have to do as a community and as a country to break this cycle and ensure this never happens again. We've had, I think, frankly, too much conversation about whether these folks are from in town or out of town. We're certainly seeing some folks, a significant number of folks come in from out of town. But the most important thing is this. When I see people who would capitalize and exploit the wrongful death of George Floyd and use it as an excuse to burn Black-owned barbershops, to burn family-owned businesses, to burn immigrant-owned restaurants, well, you're clearly not doing that out of a drive in your heart for the good and well-being of our community and the people in it. That, by definition, to me, is outsiders having an impact on our neighborhood in a devastating way.
You know, one of the things I want to ask, as you engage in this, what you call soul searching, I mean, what does the city do going forward to try to make sure that not only are its citizens safe, but that you can address some of these deep inequalities that seem to be within the law enforcement system, the criminal justice system? These are big issues. What can you do as the mayor of a specific city to try to address this?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that's true about St. Paul is I ran for mayor as perhaps one of relatively few elected leaders around the country who knows what it feels like to be pulled over for driving while Black. The question you just asked me is a central part of why I ran for mayor in the first place and a central part of what we've been focused on over the last 2 years. We established a community first public safety framework that says keeping our community safe is more than just enforcing the law after something bad happens. It's got to start with making sure that our residents are safe, making sure that our residents are stable, making sure that our residents have access to the mental, physical, emotional, and economic health supports that they need, and also investing in those areas that we've disinvested in. We've worked in the past couple of years with our police department to completely revise, review, and revise our use of force policies, to completely engage, to change how we operate with our civilian oversight board here locally, the things that we would do in St. Paul because we see these tragedies play out. We've already been doing it over the past couple of years. This is why I'm challenging our young people, and I always say young people of all ages, who are passionate, who are on fire right now, who are angry right now about the killing of George Floyd, and of course, all of the different killings that go along with that, that he's a part of that same story now, to channel that energy. You can channel that energy in a way that puts you in these spaces, that, you know, if you vote with that energy, if you engage with that energy, if you fill out your census with that energy, if you engage in your community with that energy in the legislative process at City Hall, in all of those different spaces, instead of being on the sidelines demanding that someone else on the inside makes different decisions, step into a decision-making role, step into your role as stakeholder owners of our community, of our city, of our country, and lead us forward into a new day.
Do you think that that is possible? I mean, unfortunately, we have a cycle where something like this happens. Everyone focuses on it for a while. What's different about this scenario? Is it COVID? Is it the disproportionate impact that that's had on African American and Latino communities? Is it, I mean, you know, I don't want to seem cynical, but I feel like we're on this unfortunate loop.
You should seem cynical. If you're not cynical, then you're probably not paying attention to what's been going on in our country over the past 10, 20, 50, 400 years. You should absolutely be cynical, as am I. I would tell you, I'm experiencing what you just described. I grew up the son of a St. Paul police officer. My father spent nearly 30 years patrolling the streets of our city. So I grew up at fight night and Super Bowl parties surrounded by police officers. I grew up praying for the safety of our officers every single day. And then when I turned 16 and got my driver's license, I met a whole lot more of my father's coworkers. And so I've gotten to experience this conversation that we're having, this paradox that we continue to have in our country on the front line at the front level. And we are in the process of doing that deep work in St. Paul right now with a police chief, with a police department who's supportive of that work, who knows it's necessary, and who are every bit as disgusted as I am with the video of George Floyd's, Floyd's killing. But to your point, it's not completely surprising that I, as an African-American young man, am standing here speaking to you about how wrong this is. I was talking to a group of older white men recently, and they said, well, we don't need to be talking about this, Mayor. You need to be talking about this. And I looked at them and I told them, listen, with all due respect, all of my friends already know. Until you're talking about this, until this is something that every single person who can look at that video and say, I would never want to be treated that way. That's not the way. That's not the humanity that I want to be a part of. We have to have a different social compact between our police officers and our community members. And until we do, we cannot rest. We need a much broader set of people of all races, of all ages, of all cultures, of all economic backgrounds who are looking at this video. And I talk to them in St. Paul. Our officers are disgusted by this video. Our CEOs are disgusted by this video. Our neighbors are disgusted by this video. And we need all of those people working together, saying that to our judges, saying that to our police officers, saying that to our legislators and lawmakers, saying that to their neighbors and family members every time we go. And that's the spirit. That's the American spirit of change, of progress, of momentum, of humanity that has created all of the movements that we've seen in our nation's history. That's what it's going to require to have this moment be different than all of those moments.
Do you hear from police officers who are, well, somewhat conflicted in that they are just as disgusted as any other human being that sees that video, and here they are, in a way, trying to keep back the protesters who ideologically they support?
I'll tell you, I don't think that our officers here are conflicted at all. Those officers that I've talked to, I was talking to an officer yesterday, a St. Paul police officer, said, you know, I sign up for this job and I know going to work every day that there's a possibility that I could be injured. But if I get injured because somebody's mad because of something some other knucklehead did in some other city and in some other jurisdiction, I'm going to be really upset about that. So they know that our primary tool for law enforcement is the trust that has to flow. This is what my father taught me all growing up. Our best tool for law enforcement, our best tool for public safety is that trust that has to flow between our officers and our community members. When that trust erodes, then everything else erodes around it, and neither our community nor our officers can be safe without that trust kind of being there. We know in St. Paul that we can say we don't accept the brutal, unnecessary killing of unarmed, unaggressive black men. And we can also say we don't accept the willful destruction of our neighborhood businesses, of our neighborhood institutions, of our libraries. We had a church just yesterday who called volunteers to the church at noon to board up their windows because they were fearful that the church would be looted. When we have that type of activity going on in our neighborhood that's clearly being imposed by people who don't have our community's best interests at heart, it's not opposing goals to say we value lives and we're going to protect our community. It's one and the same. There's no conflict there whatsoever. I will add that as we see these relationships play out, we're fortunate in St. Paul to have a great chief. I hear him every day ask our officers three questions about their actions. Were they reasonable? Were they necessary? Were they done with respect? And so while we enforce our basic health, safety and life-saving kind of expectations in our community, we also have to hold ourselves responsible for how we do it. In St. Paul, our measure, our standard is behavior from our officers that are reasonable, that are necessary, and that are done with respect. That's the expectation we've held ourselves to this weekend, as we've sought to both protect the right of our protesters, both legitimate protesters, to peaceably scream from the top of their lungs that Mr. Floyd should still be alive, and that we need to change the course so this never happens again, and that we need to hold those officers accountable, while saying we're going to protect the basic health and safety of our community. And we're going to do all of those things in ways that lift people up, that respects our basic humanity, that understands that we're all in this together, and that are reasonable, necessary, and respectful.
Mayor Melvin Carter of St. Paul, Minnesota, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.